Welcome to the September IASB podcast, where we bring you the latest insights from our board meetings. I am Neely Shaw, the Executive Technical Director at the IASB, and in this episode, I am joined by Andreas Barco, Chair of the IASB, and Petrina Buchanan, one of our IASB members. We've just finished the September 2024 board meeting, where we discussed six projects. Today, we'll share some thoughts on our projects related to power purchase agreements and management commentary, as well as talk about two projects that we've decided to add to our work plan, statement of cash flows and related matters, and amortized cost measurement. So let's start with power purchase agreements, or PPAs for short. Now, you've heard us talk about this for quite some time, and as a reminder, PPAs are long-term contracts which provide access to renewable electricity at a predetermined price. PPAs can be broadly grouped as either physical PPAs or virtual PPAs. A physical PPA creates rights and obligations either to receive or deliver electricity. In contrast, a virtual PPA is a contract for the settlement of the difference between the spot price and the contractually specified price without any obligation to take delivery of energy. So, Petrina, can I bring you in to discuss some of the unique characteristics of renewable electricity markets, and then we'll go into the September discussion?
Sure. Thank you, Neely. So, as you said, renewable electricity markets really have some unique characteristics. I mean, first of all, the renewable energy source depends on nature. So that might be the wind blowing or the sun shining. And because of that, the electricity supply, both in timing and amount, cannot be guaranteed. Also, the contracts in this market often require buyers to take and pay for whatever amount of electricity is produced, as and when it's produced, even if that amount doesn't match with the buyer's electricity needs and demands. So these distinct market characteristics have really created some accounting challenges in applying the current accounting requirements in IFRS 9, as well as potentially producing information that may not be useful to investors.
So how is the IASB responding to these challenges?
So to respond, we proposed amendments to IFRS 9 to two aspects of it. First of all, to the own use scope exemption and also to the hedge accounting requirements. Now, this project is moving at pace, and that's because stakeholders have told us that they expect an increase in the use of these PPAs because of the increased demand for renewable energy. So we published an exposure draft in May. We discussed a summary of feedback on that exposure draft in August. And now at this week's meetings, based on that feedback, we decided two things. First of all, we decided to clarify the scope of the amendments. And that's mainly by just clarifying some of the terms and the phrases that we use to describe that scope. So, for example, we're going to replace contracts for renewable electricity with a different term, nature-dependent electricity contracts. And we're also going to clarify that when looking at volume risk, entities will assess that as part of the own use requirements. The second thing we decided was to proceed with the proposed amendments to the own use requirements in IFRS 9, again subject to some clarifications, mainly around wording. And these amendments to the own use exemption, they're going to result in particular physical PPAs being accounted for really as sort of normal electricity procurement contracts.
Thanks, Petrina. And one last comment or question for you. What's next on the horizon for this project?
So, Neely, as I said, we're moving quickly. So we expect to conclude our re-deliberations in October. So really wrap up everything left to discuss, which is both the proposed amendments to the hedge accounting requirements, disclosure requirements, the effective date transition, and also the due process steps. And then we are aiming to publish the final amendments here before the end of the year, so before the end of 2024. So I just say stay tuned. Things are moving quickly.
Thanks, Petrina. So let's move on to the next project that we discussed in September, which is our management commentary project. And just as a reminder, management commentary is a general purpose financial report that is required in many jurisdictions alongside an entity's financial statements, and increasingly, its sustainability-related information. It's known under various names, including MD&A, or Management Discussion and Analysis, Operating and Financial Review, and strategic or management report. Now, IFRS accounting standards don't require companies to prepare a management commentary. However, many security regulators do require such a report. So, Andreas, can you give us some background on this project?
Happy to. We published proposals in May 2021, and I should point out that was 2 months before I arrived, to overhaul the management commentary practice statement that was issued some 14 years ago. Our proposals were generally well received by stakeholders, in particular investors. So the ISB decided to finalize the project by making targeted refinements to its proposals. Management Commentary Project aims to provide a comprehensive resource for regulators, as you said, and for companies to support improvement and greater global alignment in these types of reports. Another key aim of the project is to support connectivity between a company's management commentary and both its financial statements and sustainability disclosures if those disclosures are provided outside of management commentary. I think it's worth saying that we are collaborating with our colleagues at the International Sustainability Standards Board and its technical staff to support this. We are also grateful to members of the Integrated Reporting and Connectivity Council and representatives of the integrated reporting communities for their input on possible targeted refinements to the proposals to facilitate greater alignment with some of the concepts in the integrated reporting framework.
Thanks, Andreas. And then finally, can you give us an update on the decisions the IASB made this month?
Sure. So at the September meeting, the ISB discussed the scope of possible targeted refinements. These refinements focus on addressing feedback on the exposure draft and the significant developments in the reporting landscape since the exposure draft was issued. The ISB also made some decisions on targeted refinements to proposals in chapters 1 to 3 of the exposure draft, such as refinements to clarify that the term management includes governed and boarded of an entity, and to emphasize the concept of management perspective and the role of information about sustainability factors as part of the objective management commentary, as well as to clarify the role of management commentary in relation to other information in general purpose financial reports, including an entity's sustainability-related financial disclosures if provided outside of the management commentary. We are well on track with our targeted re-deliberations and expect to issue the revised practice statement in the first half of 2025.
So let's move on to the next topic of this month's podcast, which is very exciting. We have started two new major projects. One is the statement of cash flows and related matters, and the other is on amortized cost measurement. So Andreas, starting with cash flows, can you tell us a little bit more about the background of this project?
Sure. The Statement of Cash Flows and Related Matters project was added to the ISB's pipeline based on the feedback from its third agenda consultation, which sought feedback from stakeholders about what the ISB's priorities should be from 2022 to 2026. And with the start of this project, the IASB has now started on all of its commitments it made as part of its third agenda consultation.
Definitely very exciting news, especially because there's been such a huge demand for improvements to to IAS7, and also because we've hit a milestone in having started all of our projects on from the third agenda consultation. Not to suggest that we have nothing to do. There's actually quite a bit of work now that all these projects are started. So can you tell us a little bit more, Andreas, about what this project will cover?
Good question, but I have to be a bit evasive here. That still remains to be determined. Most respondents to the third agenda consultation rated the potential project on the statement of cash flows and related matters as a high priority. Topics like classification of cash flows, disaggregation requirements, cash and cash equivalents definition, use of direct versus indirect methods, non-cash effects disclosure, commonly used cash flow measures, and specific requirements for financial institutions were highlighted, and this is probably not a definitive list. The staff also conducted a literature review of evidence from academic papers on topics that the ISB might explore in its project on statement of cash flows and related matters. During the June 2024 joint CMAC-GPF meeting, the staff asked members to share their experiences in preparing and using the information presented in the statement of cash flows or disclosed in the notes applying IFRS accounting standards. The comments received were consistent with feedback in the third gender consultation and the initial academic research.
Tell us what happened in the September meeting.
Yeah. So at the September meeting, the IASB was provided with an overview of academic research and the work the staff plan to undertake to support a decision in the project scope. Next steps will be that the staff will conduct initial research and plan to report their findings to the IASB in the first quarter of 2025. This report will provide evidence to help the IASB decide on the project scope at a subsequent meeting. The research supporting the project scope will include consultative group and individual stakeholder meetings, review results of national standard status projects, financial statement analysis, and the review of related IASB projects.
So, Petrina, I'm going to ask you next to talk a little bit about our newly started project on amortized cost measurement. As a bit of background, in July of 2022, the IASB added to its research pipeline a project on amortized cost measurement in response to feedback on the post-implementation review of classification and measurement requirements in IFRS 9. And the aim of this project would be to clarify amortized cost measurement requirements for financial assets and financial liabilities. So, Petrina, how did stakeholders respond to this during the post-implementation review?
So, Neely, during the second post-implementation review of IFRS 9, of course, which covered the impairment requirements, actually we heard a lot of support from stakeholders for a decision to actually add that amortized cost measurement project as a pipeline project. So knowing that that project was coming, they then identified for us a number of other issues that they thought should be added into that project. And really, it's very much related because what they identified were some questions particularly around the interaction between the impairment requirements in IFRS 9 and also the requirements for modifications and write-offs of financial assets. So this week we made some decisions. We concluded that we thought the most appropriate approach for this project would be a targeted improvements approach. Now, what do we mean by that? That means that we're going to focus on resolving identified application issues, but without fundamentally changing IFRS 9. Now, just because we say we're not fundamentally changing IFRS 9, this is neither is it narrow scope. So there could be some change. It's targeted improvements. But really the reason there that the project will not undertake a fundamental review of IFRS 9, it really reflects what we heard in our post-implementation reviews, that generally IFRS 9 is working well in this respect. So what will the project do? The aim will be very much to clarify existing principles and also add some guidance where needed to improve the application of amortized cost measurement.
Where do we go from here? What are some next steps?
So on this project, actually, we've already had a lot of valuable input from our stakeholders on what exactly we should look at in this project. And we received that input, of course, in both of the post-implementation reviews on IFRS 9, as well as during our IBOR project. And of course, all of that input came recently, so we really think it's up to date and useful and valuable. So really what we plan to do now is not repeat do the same work again, but really focus on having some targeted consultations to confirm that the issues we've already got on our list, that's complete, that there's really nothing obvious missing from those topics already identified. And we're going to seek that input from our IFRS Interpretations Committee in November, and then also from our ASAF Consultative Group in December. So then at a future board meeting, the staff will bring back the feedback from that targeted consultation. They'll analyse the feedback and they'll also present a project plan to us that will, of course, set out the sort of scope, what topics we'll discuss, and also give us an idea of the timeline.
So it's really an interesting contrast. We've started both Statement of Cash Flows and Related Matters project and the project on amortized cost measurement, but the way we're going about each project is a little bit different. With cash flows, the scope is really yet to be determined, and we're going out there to really get our hands around all the issues because we don't have the latest and greatest, most up-to-date feedback. In contrast with amortized cost measurement, we've already done a lot of work and we already have a lot of feedback. So I think there's a pretty clear sense of where we need to go with this project. And so the initial starting point is just targeted input from stakeholders to confirm that list and then move forward into trying to solve some of the issues.
Absolutely.
Thank you both for joining us on this update. Before we sign off, I also want to flag for our listeners that just recently we have published our exposure draft on the equity method of accounting. So these are amendments to IAS 28. Please do have a look at that. There is a 120-day comment period, so that will be ending in January, and we'd very much love to hear your feedback. Other than that, we look forward to sharing more with you at our October podcast next month. Thank you.